Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Okay, hello!
He's back!
I am! How are you,
Mark?
Julia?
I'm fine, thank you. I'm glad to have you back. I love doing the show with Joel.
Uh-huh.
But it's good to get a different perspective, because I have missed your take on JJ, for example.
Right.
Joel tried last week, but he couldn't be as vitriolic.
he couldn't summon up the bile
for one of our nation's heroes.
Yeah, very much so. Well, I've been around the country. I'm currently making a new BBC show for primetime. It's called The Spark.
I might do a podcast about it, like pulling it to shreds.
Well, I travel the country with Karen Hauer, and what basically happens is we talk to people in various sort of locations and things. We sample the local food, and then it builds to she has to basically do a dance to try and win my affections back. Can she tempt me again? We've done 3 episodes so far.
Yeah.
I've failed at the first hurdle.
Mark's been in a coma, everyone, but at least he had nice dreams while he was there. Welcome back, Mark.
Thank you. Very nice to see you. And look, what a great week to come back for. It's quarterfinals.
I know. How the hell did we get here? I know it was a short series and everything, but this feels like time has accelerated somewhat.
Oh, completely. Do you know what's really funny about this one is it really works? Because I feel like we got introduced to everyone, we sifted people out, but what I haven't had is that week going, oh, let's get rid of all the people who are still getting sixes.
No, correct. The streamlined version, I think you're right, it does work really well.
I also quite like how quickly it is, with missing Halloween and things, quickly you're sort of going, it's musicals, and then next week it's the semi-finals. And it's just like, wow, there is no fat on this format anymore.
None at all.
Absolutely
much like the
great.
Pro dancers, there is not an ounce of fat on them. Anyway,
great COVID opener as well from Lord Andrew Lloyd, Lord Webber.
What the hell was that?
I think television mistakes how beloved he is as a figure.
It really does. He was on Strictly It Takes Two on Friday as well, and just sort of like just didn't fit. And they all treat it. Obviously he's revered. He's responsible for a lot of the worst musicals that have ever been staged, and some of the worst tunes. No one ever says that. I'm just putting it out there. Some really awful tunes. Cats, like, what the hell was that? But he's a lord, obviously. He's worshipped and performed for in that empty theatre. It all felt a bit uncomfortable to me.
Didn't it? And for a man who spent his whole life watching musical theatre, he's not really mastered the art of clapping, is he? his hands flap around like there's a fused wrist bone and then the hands of no bones.
It's so weird.
I've never seen anyone have difficulty clapping.
Well, like his hands are angry with each other and don't want to connect in the middle. He also did say, Jamie, you're a star, encouraging him. No, he's not.
Yeah, they brought on Bill and, Andrew Lloyd Webber, again, a man who spends his life in theatre.
Mm.
He can't deliver simple lines.
No,
so
he can't.
They'd obviously had to do quite a scissors and paste job on the line where he said, and they couldn't quite get it right, which was even better. So it showed that, yes, there had been a big problem. And he said a line where he went, to Bill, going to have to get you back on stage on theatre when we get back.
Oh, man.
And it was all jerky and slightly clapping.
Hard. I know we've all been locked away a bit, and it's quite hard to form sentences when you haven't been regularly using your words for a while.
Yeah.
But that was just, seriously?
He must have been speaking throughout the whole of lockdown just to insurance companies, just getting that sorted.
I'm sorry, I'm not laughing at the plight of British theatre, just at him and Mark's joke. Yeah.
he did say some really odd things. So they had a line where, you know, and it is nice to celebrate Strictly, and Strictly is the closest thing that we have really to musicals on British television. And he said, for one night only, musicals are back where they belong.
Or on TV?
I mean, musicals are never on TV. They're never, you know.
And they always look a bit weird on TV because they're stagey and big and huge.
So weird.
Yeah.
One of the saddest things I think that's ever happened is the slight move they've done towards going, musicals on TV do not work. So instead we'll have staged concerts of the musicals where we don't even try. And Les Mis started it with their sort of 20th anniversary
thing. Oh, that's right, yeah.
Where it's just people going, you know what the wonder of musicals are? That they're like concerts.
It's the spectacle, It's people standing still with books. Yeah. Singing from books like in church.
It's Alfie Beau coming out and he's wearing a suit, but because, like, I don't know, he's playing a cat, it will have a cat's paw print on it, you know. It's not good enough.
What is going on? So him and Michael Ball now are kind of acknowledged to be, you know, the Nan's favourite. They must make so much money.
Yeah, yeah.
From being like this two-headed musicals beast. They unnerve me. Also, again, because, you know, we talk about this a lot, looking at the lovely smiling faces of celebrities and then deciding which ones are secretly evil underneath. I'm not saying that Michael Ball and Alfie Beau are evil, but I just get, like, not genuinely wholesome vibes from either of them.
I think they have very juvenile, unwholesome vibes. Yeah. So I imagine when, like, the taxi driver picks them up, you know, and he'll pick up Alfie next, the two of them will go, all right, lads, and one of them will bring out a porn mag, and the two of them will crease up with laughter in the back. And when the cab driver goes, what's going on back there? They both start, like, elbowing each other and going, shut up, shut up, shut up.
Yeah, they do have that. So they didn't progress beyond about 13. No, and and clearly they know it works for them. But I just, I don't know. I'm alarmed by their rapid success.
I am actually amazed we haven't seen them this series. They are
100%
what Strictly normally does.
Well, exactly. And we'll talk about the terms and conditions later. And I know they've obviously had, I think they've got for the Sunday show, and Juliet, that's going to be the performance. So I get that that's why they'd be doing the terms and conditions. But on Musicals Week, when you could literally get anyone, and they had Michael Crawford later on for Bill, for the Phantom thing, get a huge West End star. Here's an idea. Get a huge West End star.
Yeah. This is a funny thing about the show, about how you can really, if you get a number that everybody knows, that does so much of the heavy lifting in your dance. Yep. And if you get one that isn't as familiar, you actually have quite an uphill struggle, I think. It's a strange one. And Anne Juliet is not the sort of thing you're going to go, oh, good, I like that.
Because it's only been in the West End for about... It'd been in the West End for, I think, maybe 3 months or something, obviously, when everything had to close. It's not quite established yet. Obviously, this is it's going to be great marketing for them when the theatres do open again. But, just in terms of the who do you get for the big guest, they're all over the place with the guests they're getting for this
really
bit of the
are.
Show. When
really
they could
are.
Get literally anyone.
Yeah, they've chosen to get literally no one.
You know? I know,
absolutely not kicking the cast of Anne Juliet. But
no idea who you are, yeah.
Not at all. Imagine, I mean, again, I always think about, like, Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah.
I imagine if they have the terms and conditions bit, they aren't going to be using someone who's opened up off-Broadway. They're going to be using Brad Pitt.
It's all on Zoom. Like, what's the diff? Just like someone who's available for a quick phone call. It's not hard.
The one thing I've begun to wonder since that news story about the dancers who were invited on and then not offered payment. I wonder that they have no budget. So they are just using the people from Anne Juliet because the producers of that are obviously going to go, well, it's going to take you an hour. You're bloody doing it.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
Maybe that's
publicity.
The reason.
It literally is for the exposure. And you and I have both worked for, I'm not just saying the BBC, you know, lots of different people in broadcasting.
Oh,
and that is trotted out again and again. We would like you to, we'd invite you to do this on a big show, which is arguably the biggest of its kind.
Yeah.
We don't have a budget to pay you. And it's like, well, where do I have to go beyond this where they do start paying? Because this is Strictly Come Dancing. This is Strictly
Completely. Everybody else who works on that show is being paid. The people who are on television should be paid.
I'm glad we've addressed that because that did not sit well. And the Strictly It Takes Two producer did say it was a Latino band, I think, or I can't remember what kind of music it was, but it was a themed band they got on for a particular item. And the producer said they weren't dropped because they asked for money. They were in the end dropped for editorial reasons, like we changed our minds. But the fact is, they were told it's for exposure. This role doesn't attract a fee. Like, that's a thing. Like, I know everyone's struggling, but these people aren't making any money at the moment. Bands can't play live. You pay them. Yeah, it's a moral imperative.
Mm. Completely. Do you know what? You can always find a little bit of extra money in the budget if you take it from the executive producer's pay
packet
for doing nothing.
Yeah.
Really. It's always, always doable.
Amazing. I don't think anyone's ever thought of that, Mark. You're a genius.
Oh, everyone's thought of it, but I'll tell you what, the executive producers have thought of ways out of it much more than we have. The opening number, Julia, Priscilla, Queen of the Desert.
Yes, please. So, we said this a lot this series. Whether the choreography, I can't say choreography, that word. Whether that team has changed or there's been a reshuffle or someone else in charge now, these big dance numbers this series are just brilliantly letting down their hair and going. Yeah. Like gay as. And obviously this one is Priscilla's Queen of the Desert. It's drag queen. So Jojo, apparently that's what they call him now. I'm not calling him Johannes anymore. I want to pretend he's my friend. So Jojo, my close dear pal, was obviously leading from the front, dragged up, headpiece, makeup, just looking wonderful. And then Giovanni and Gorka were flanking him as the other two drag queens from Priscilla. Just absolutely. In fact, Giovanni in particular just looked at home in a way that perhaps Gorka was a bit like, well, I'm going with it, but. Nah.
Yeah. Well, Gorka, you could tell by the choice of footwear as well, because he had block heels on.
Yeah.
And the other two were in stilettos.
Proper heels.
You could tell Gorka was a bit like, I am not 100% used to this sort of thing.
Yes.
But you know what? I'll give it the old college try. It comes out, you know, the three of them dancing. And again, I watch it as a member of the sickening metropolitan liberal elite.
Of course, we both do.
I just not a racist.
Yes, thank you for that clarification.
I watch it and I sort of go, oh, this is quite fun. It's Priscilla, Queen of the Desert. Mm. And what you forget, of course, is for a lot of people, this is so antagonistic and so against family broadcasting.
They had complaints.
As soon as I think of that, I go, now I'm really enjoying it.
Yes,
now I'm really
yes.
loving this. Yeah, a political act. You mentioned the complaints. I don't know if you saw James Jordan, who I think out of pretty much all of the ex-dancers might be the one that I feel least warmth towards.
Yes, I think I might have had a similar reaction to him when he's posted previously on subjects, subjects.
He put up a tweet that just said, well, I have to say I'm glad I never had to dance in a pro dance like that. I'm sure many of you enjoyed it, which is fine. Just not my style.
What a cock!
Absolute
cock! Way to go! I'm uncomfortable with any kind of show of anything other than solid masculinity. And what if I catch it? What if I'm near them and then one of them gives it to me?
Important what for me to stress prat. As well, in case you're interested, that I am heterosexual. So let me just make that clear. When he's like, you know, I'm glad they didn't have to do that. I did think to myself, well, you were never going to be asked because they got rid of you about 8 years ago.
Yeah, maybe because they
sensed
the just inherent homophobia in somebody who works on a freaking dancing show.
It must be a horrible life to be a professional dancer who is homophobic.
He must have been furious all the time.
It's about time we rooted out the gays from professional ballroom dancing. And I am the man to do that. Wrong, wrong, wrong.
I'm not disappointed because, like you said, I think he's proven himself to be a bit of a bell before now. But I am almost impressed that he'd go like full Lawrence Fox and say it out loud. The room, dude.
I mean, look, you know, it's been a few years since he's been on telly, you know, and you realise that, you know, if you say, do you know what I don't like? People will start chucking you money.
That's true enough. Oh, God. Well, let's not give him any more oxygen or publicity then in that case.
No, let's
Priscilla was fabulous.
Let's bear in mind the vision of Johannes Jojo, a black man from the African subcontinent who is on British television on prime time in drag.
Full flat.
Who is absolutely the biggest star in the room.
Yeah, pouting from a giant shoe.
That's right.
Yes!
That is Britain 2020.
Yes,
and if
please.
You don't like it, you can shove that shoe up your bum.
Hello, my darlings. It's me, Anna Mann, actress, singer, welder. Gotta have a backup. I've been in everything, my darlings, and I've been cut from most things. However, I will not be cut from one thing, and that is my own podcast, Talking to Actors with Anna Mann, where I meet those rarest of creatures, the actors. That's Talking to Actors on The Great Big Owl.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Out comes Claudia, wearing a white flared suit. I had a touch of the Saturday Night Fever about it.
Yeah, I thought at the kind of the end of their little sting that they come onto, da 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 da, that she would assume the pose because she had the suit. I thought she'd go Travolta,
smash.
But I mean, just a tiny detail, but a missed opportunity there. She did reference later on Shawaddy Waddy, which I adored her for even more, if that were possible.
Just another little nod there as to why you would be a very good producer on this, because it's all about the detail, isn't it?
Yeah,
just
I think so.
Give people the Easter eggs. That's what
don't
we like.
Forget those little details. We're all watching that closely because we've got nothing else. We can't go outside. We'll die. So shall we start with the first dance then, Mark?
Yeah, it was JJ and Amy doing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Charleston, don't say bang bang around JJ. He'll hit the floor.
There were a lot of loud bangs during their routine that aren't in the original score that I did slightly worry were.
I wonder if they're trying to put him off and they're sort of going, right, it's time for you to go now. Occasionally you can hear the whistle of what sounds like it could be an unmanned drone.
You've made me horrible now. I used to be nice, now I've descended to your level for lols.
He did annoy me slightly again here, and part of the reason is analysing what he does each week.
Yeah.
Everything that he does has a big investment of huge emotional meaning.
Right.
He never goes, oh, I love this song. He's always like, this song is all about, you know, inner strength, and I've had to have tremendous
everything's
inner strength.
A motivational Facebook post. Yeah, now, yeah, yeah.
This time they're doing Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. Oh, you Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. And he said, now, this is lighthearted. This is who I actually am.
Oh, really?
I mean, you've always got to find that emotional heft. This time in Chitty Chitty Bang Bang.
He can find it in the Birdie song if you give him 5 minutes to think
about it. Oh, completely. It's everything is always specifically relevant to him and his story.
For
which,
sure.
Which I do find very, very tiring.
Are you saying he's self-obsessed?
I'm saying he certainly comes across that way on television.
So there's a little VT before they started where they got to drive a Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. I'm not sure if it was the... But anyway, it was going to Elstree. I guess they just had it in a garage.
The pissing rain in Boreham Wood.
Yeah.
Driving around an empty, deserted lot.
So
just
beautiful.
As the light's beginning to fade.
And Amy's got like a parasol because he Trudy Scrumptious has a parasol. But that doesn't keep the rain off, as she found out quite quickly, because it's made of lace.
It did. I mean, she in this was, to some degree, perfect casting. She seemed like, if you went to see Chitty Chitty Bang Bang
at the
Sidmouth Players Theatre in Devon, it would say, starring as Trudy Scrumptious, Amy from BBC One's hit show. And she, it felt to me a little bit like she was like, this is the role I was always born to play.
Yeah, it did suit her. I mean, it really did suit her. The costume wasn't quite right, I didn't think, though. Because it's supposed to be, I mean, is it Edwardian or something? I'm thinking of the film now. But, and I know they couldn't do the full length thing, but it just looked, it was see-through a bit, I thought. She's not appropriate for Truly Scrumptious. She's a very prim sort of a character. I didn't think she embodied the character that well this week, actually.
This isn't your daddy's Truly Scrumptious.
No.
This is a totally rad Truly Scrumptious for 2020.
Stop trying to sex up Chitty Chitty Bang Bang. It's not acceptable. But the actual routine, I don't know what you thought of it, but I thought, like everything with JJ, he kept up. Shirley did make afterwards a, I thought, pointed but entirely correct reference to the simple choreography, which, in quarterfinals week is entirely not really what we're looking for. I just wrote, it's like the car can't take off. So there was a lot of sort of correct movements, but the Charleston is huge, cartoonish, crazy. All the things that he said he was going to do, you know, I'm going to really become Caractacus Potts is a lunatic, mad inventor. You know, Dick, if you're going to take a shot at a Dick Van Dyke character, you know, don't miss. And it was just all very well-mannered and polite and kind of not danced. It was more sort of just walked through, and that's what he does. He can't go beyond that, I don't think.
No, it was like a very, very competent high school production that you would watch and you'd go, that's the best high school production I've ever seen.
And there were some really nice sync bits with his long legs. They commented how long his legs are and how that must be difficult. There were some really nice bits, but on the whole, just not the energy or the execution.
It wasn't bad, but it stuck out like a sore thumb because of the level of competition that we're at now.
Exactly.
I think it was just a waste of a Charleston.
Yeah, I agree. Charleston's are the big numbers.
That's a big, big show-stopping...
And musicals week as well.
Completely, yeah. And so, I mean, it could have been really... It didn't feel like a Charleston at all. Because Charleston, as you say, that frenetic, that energy. And what this was it did actually feel like musical theatre rather than a dance.
Yeah.
It felt like a decent number in a quite flat production of Chitty Chitty Bang.
Yeah, I might have been looking at my programme or trying to open my poppets. At this point, just not really paying attention. Let's get to the end of this bit. Yeah.
You have come from the Royal Marines to this, said Tess, just making sure there was still that obligatory mention.
Oh, I know.
The judges weren't enthused by it. I think they were giving supportive comments because I think they were thinking, well, having seen that, your time is coming up. I think
I think their comments were quite nice. I think they weren't expecting the scores they actually got. Because they were sort of quite encouraged. I mean, Craig said it was stoppy and starty and he wasn't dancing the bits in between the moves and all that stuff they say to someone in week four, and then you either get it right or you go.
Yeah.
Motsy had my comment of the night this week. She said, what a beautiful smile. Which is what you say to someone who really has just done something bad, or a child that's done a terrible picture that has some sort of a bent red line in the middle, so you can say you think it might be a beautiful smile. But
my favourite thing that Motsy said in this is she just went, chitty, chitty, JJ.
It's like it's repeated, isn't it? Chitty's repeated, and then the letter J is. So that
I suppose you
even
could,
Bruno would have tried to cover that.
Yeah. Well, that was a lot of shit. they got a 6 and 2 7s for 20. And
bad score.
Again, you know, it is a really bad score. It's four beneath
for quarterfinals,
and four beneath the next lowest. You know, and at this stage, obviously, four is you might as well be 20.
They have marked themselves out as. You know, loose. What's the word? Not loose fat, but they're definitely. There's a chasm between what they're able to do as a couple and what some of the other couples are able to do.
No, completely.
Suggest.
They haven't yet had a dance off, have they?
No, I think he's been the emotional approach has worked incredibly well, and you know, lots of people who support war and wear poppies well beyond November have been picking up the phone for him. But I just wonder.
This isn't
the end of the line.
That is a deep concern for me.
Yeah.
We've never seen him in the dance-off. I think this would be the second week where he's been the lowest scoring and patently the worst.
Yeah.
And I am concerned that maybe his numbers, when people are ringing in, are 30 times that of the next biggest contender.
That is a worry. Well, I mean, there's no question he shouldn't be in the final. And that's just a qualitative judgment, I think.
Yeah.
Someone of his sort of calibre... You know, the by this stage of the competition is usually filtered out.
Yeah.
And you're right, if the public are just voting, normally public sympathy tends to wane in favour of who do I want to see dancing. If he's bored his fans enough by just being the same every week, then maybe they'll start to either just not pick up the phone or move over to another couple. But Yeah, I just... It's fine and everything, but he's definitely outstayed completely. His welcome now.
Absolutely. He is very much the low-hanging fruit on an otherwise and delicious dance
And he's done amazing things. And Amy did make a point of saying with Claudia afterwards that the physio on the show is astounded at what he's able to do. He shouldn't physically be able to do the things he has done, considering his injuries. And amazing. But, you know, dancing now, time to go home.
This is not, they don't call it show inspiration. They call it show business.
Yes, sirree.
didn't quite work, but I think my point is clear.
I think we all understood what you were struggling and groping for. So well done.
Next, we had an appearance from Anne Hathaway and William Shakespeare.
We did, against an unconvincing CGI red curtain.
Yes, very much so. Mm. I'm going to say that Shakespeare didn't make much of an effort to look like Shakespeare. he had a quill and a jerkin, and they were like, that is enough.
Just because he hasn't had any portraits with a short back and size doesn't mean to say he didn't opt for that look at some point in his career. We don't know that.
I think he had a watch on, Julia.
There's also an iPhone sticking out of his top pocket. Yes. Bit of a giveaway.
Yeah. They did the terms and conditions. They are coming back. And it was sort of odd that Claudia just sort of said, well, thanks to them. And didn't really name the actors.
No.
And didn't play up the whole idea of them being William Shakespeare. But just odd. Just odd to see
it was all a bit
reading the terms and conditions that you've never seen before.
Yeah, exactly. If you're going to do it, then do it in full costume. Wear the gear, pretend it's Shakespeare. Make some lols out of that. It was so well phoned in, and I'm guessing they were literally just around the corner in the same studio, because if they're performing on the Sunday show, they're obviously there ready to film it after the Saturday show's finished. So it all just, you know, looked a bit like not much effort, which again, if as the producer of this show, Mark, I'm just I'm saying the details are important, and I'm not seeing details.
I totally agree with that. I think it's been too broad a stroke.
Next, we had one of my favourites of the night. It's Ranveer and Giovanni doing their Viennese waltz, so very spinny, to that song off of Waitress.
Right,
the nice lady with the apron and the pie, that one. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. This I've not seen this musical. I don't know anything about it, but I instantly recognised it from the adverts they have on the tube.
Exactly.
I was like, oh, right, that blue dress, that's that musical.
They've been very clever with the costume. It's like, as it's become as iconic as like the Alice in Wonderland kind of blue dress sort of bib thing. It's you see it and you know, and they put it on the posters, and the branding of that musical has been very clever, I think.
Yeah, they did a really, really clever bit of set dressing, which was they only had like four things, all exactly the same thing, but four of them. And it was those big metal things that if you're in an institution, you put your tray back on.
Oh, yes.
And there were four of those at the back. And I was like, do you know what? I haven't thought about those for years, but that absolutely has summed up the notion of I serve food and this is where it comes back to.
Yeah, they have them in IKEA. Design. They probably just borrowed them from the local IKEA around the North Circular.
Really?
They have them for the trays in the cafe there. Yeah, it's brilliant.
Exactly that. I mean, look, this dance, Julia. I mean, this is what you come to see Strictly Come Dancing
for.
Oh,
yes. All day, every day. And their training video was really sweet. And again, you could say you could easily level this accusation. The same one we've leveled at JJ about was going for the emotion. They do tell this story about Ranveer over and over again, that she's not confident and she's really had to push herself. But I don't know, with her, it just feels a bit more authentic. I don't know why.
It's certainly grown as the show has gone on.
Yeah, we've watched her naturally come out of herself, I think, while still clearly being riddled with self-doubt. But she's so sweet, and she's so... I just wrote down, it kind of almost made me cry watching the training video, because there's a moment just when she's, I guess, practicing the Viennese waltz, where she's being whirled around the dance floor by Gio. And I just said, she doesn't look like a woman. She looks like a girl.
Yeah.
Like she just goes all carefree, and she just throws her head back, and she really looks like someone who was in there but struggling to get out, or she's too busy working and being a, you know, single mum and stuff. It just looks like the inner girl has been released.
Yeah.
And it's such a powerful thing to show
the
women of this country, you know, who probably, you know, some of them feeling a bit like her. Brilliant, just a brilliant story. Her arc, everything about it is great.
Yeah,
and her acting was so good in this routine.
You're so right about that girlishness, because when she comes out, she's just so light on her feet.
Yeah.
You know, she's like a sort of feather. Or she actually reminds me most, especially in this dance, of one of those little plastic jewellery boxes, you know, with the ballerina.
Yeah,
that when you
I
open it up
and
we're dancing around the thing. And she has a sort of, I don't know, just an innocent sort of beauty to the way that she does this, that it is just, she just transforms.
Yeah.
And that transformation is, as much as anything, the thing that I find really sort of beautiful about what happens, as you say,
agreed,
you know, like a little girl, but it's, there is a definite transformation that happens when she's on that dance floor.
Completely.
And it's magic to watch.
Yeah,
it's
it really
magic.
Is. I think her acting's been pretty amazing for a political editor from sort of day one, but in this number, because it sort of told the story of someone who's coming into her own, finding her voice. I don't know the musical either, but I understand that's the kind of the arc of the character in Waitress. It was really emotional, but she acted that part, someone who's just, Craig was bitching about her pastry rolling at the start, like, could have done without that. But yet she acted the part of someone who was a bit beaten down by life, turning into this unbelievably stunning swan, like just beautiful dancer.
Totally.
And it actually made me cry. And the spinning was just relentless. And she did a Viennese waltz, and she didn't bang on about the spinning making her dizzy. I think was a first on our Curtis Strictly bingo. We can actually cross that one off. Someone who didn't moan about travel sickness when spinning a lot. She was just great.
Motsy cried as well. There was lots of talk about how she'd done the best fleckle.
Yeah.
Which, I wish I'd called my child fleckle. Absolutely love it. I think it's brilliant. And as I think, you know, I think it was Craig who said, "What can I say about your frame? Phenomenal."
Yeah,
and
the standing spin
was
perfect.
Just when you do, you know, that sort of that dance thing, and it isn't just a celebrity who is learning to dance, but you are going out there and you are creating something of such beauty.
Yeah.
I mean, it's magic to see. It makes you realise there is so much television that you watch that doesn't set out to create something beautiful.
Yes.
And when you see something beautiful, you go, gosh, it seems like a long time since I've seen something
like
really,
that. It really, really does.
And the
with
fact
this
that
show.
She's putting that out continuously, you know, week after week, she does something quite beautiful.
Yes, something a bit magic going on there, isn't there?
She's obviously winning hearts and minds. And I now feel she has to go to the final. I don't think there's any justice for her and that storyline if she doesn't make it to the final.
For sure. I voted for her and for Bellinotti last night because I fear that them just being kind of slightly, they're near the top of the table, arguably, but mid-table now. Everyone's mid-table. It's a complete, you know, up for grabs, isn't it? I fear that, you know, if fatigue kicks in with those emotional stories, people stop picking up the phone. She has to be in the final. It's like imperative.
Yeah, she got three nines for 27, which was would end up putting her third on the leaderboard by the end of the evening.
Yeah, and if there was something really during her, quite early in the routine, I think Shirley does this a lot, but you don't always see it on camera.
Yeah, standing up.
She stands up and really peers over, and it gave me this really unpleasant image because obviously the chemistry is just so gorgeous between Ranveer and Giovanni.
Yeah.
It's almost like she's peering over the side of the bed watching them at it. It just made me feel really like, oh.
Don't worry, dear. Shirley likes
bit.
To watch.
It's horrible. It's like, this is a precious moment. Can you just show some sensitivity and just lean back? I know she's trying to get the footwork, but lean back.
I want
back
to
a
see
bit.
If the tongue goes in. A little bit on the side. I'll mark, give them extra
horrible.
Mark for that.
But I understand she's
tongue.
Just doing her job, but it skeeved me out somewhat. I thought that was a TENS routine and they were a little stingy with their last mark because they didn't really find anything wrong with it. So
no,
just give her a 10 and stop being a stinge bag. And maybe they're saving it for next week so she can
I do think there were a couple of lower marks in this show. That does seem to be, it's the semi-finals, the quarter-finals rather, we're all taking it seriously. And they want to hold back so that you get, if we get tens all the way through to the final now.
Yeah.
You know, so I think they are pulling back.
They're going to be picky.
I think there were certainly two dances that should have been 30s.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to All Rather Mysterious, the podcast that aims to unlock the mysteries of the past with the key of fact. My name is John Rain.
My name is Eleanor Morton.
My name is David Reed.
Please join us as we present to you mysteries that have baffled the world.
You had any noises?
What about a door creaking?
You don't have to do it.
That so. Weird kadoonk that lights going off makes for some reason in films.
All Rather Mysterious.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.